In today's podcast, you'll learn about a balloon fiesta, hear a spam story, and discover how Alexa has a particular fondness for baths. Stay tuned. Which makes me Rory, and together we are
the Rollies.
Yes, we are married
to each other.
Yeah, that's right.
And we are a musical duo. Our music has taken us around the world, and we love travel, and that's what we talk about on this podcast.
Last month, we featured my hometown of Lake Charles. Actually, Moss Bluff is my hometown, but across the river from the giant city of Lake Charles, Louisiana. And today, I thought it might be fitting to discuss where my lovely bride grew up. And that would be the town of Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. Great town.
Yeah, that's one of the places I grew up.
Well, that's right. And the other was not so far from where I grew up.
Yeah, because of how my family moved, I grew up both in the Woodlands, Texas, which is north of Houston, and in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
That's right. So, Alexa's going to share with us some of her memories growing up and favorite things to do in New Mexico. Not Houston, just New Mexico.
Today's podcast is about New Mexico.
Well, that's a good reason to focus on New Mexico then. Okay. We'll focus there. Okay.
All right. So one of the funnest things, is funnest a word?
Yeah. Okay.
To do, I think, as growing up and thinking about some of my favorite things, the balloon festival that happens in October. At least when I was a kid, it was October.
So is that where, because when I was a kid, it was so fun. You'd go to a party and this guy like makes squirrel shapes with these big long balloons and little dogs and hearts and stuff like that and hats you can wear. That'd be a really great festival.
Those are not hot air balloons.
Well, you didn't say hot air balloon.
You just said
balloon festival.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Hot air balloon festival. Will you go early in the morning? And some, you know, wide open space where they have all of the people with their hot air balloons. It's amazing. And when you get there early, they are all being blown up. And there are balloons. The balloons
so
are being
blown up. If they
blow
them up, how are they going to use them?
You
mean they're
Do
all
not
being
understand
inflated.
Hot air
they're
balloon.
All being inflated, perhaps. Not exploded.
Yes,
people.
Mr. Corrector yes. of Words.
I'm just saying.
Yes. And this is why I need you in my life.
Right.
So they fill up the balloons, and these hot air balloons are amazing. They're just so many different colors, right? So mm-hmm. even if they're like a normal-shaped hot air balloon, your typical kind of like oval-ish type balloon shape, some of those have like company logos on them and like just rainbows and like just all of these different colors and
unicorns,
different.
Rainbows.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then, so you have all those quote unquote normal balloons, but they're so colorful and just those alone filling the sky is amazing. But then they also have balloons with all these fun shapes. So you might have a dog shaped balloon or you might have. You know,
I
like
right.
a hat-shaped balloon.
Or a squirrel. Why did you tell me I was wrong?
Okay, there you go. And anyway, getting there in the morning, as all of these hot air balloons are inflating, they rise up into the sky and you just watch the whole process and, you know, you're there on ground level with them and it is such a sight to see. And then you just stay as, you know, one balloon after another just lifts into the sky and it is amazing. And then the sky is so beautiful and full of just hundreds of hot air balloons. So I highly recommend planning a trip at that time of year where you can check out the Hot Air Balloon Festival. It is so, so amazing.
So it would look like hundreds of little sunrises.
Oh, it's awesome.
So cool.
Now, that's another thing that's really great about Albuquerque. Where
Sandia Mountains.
The Sandia Mountains. And Sandia, in Spanish, means watermelon. And so when the sun sets on the mountain, it makes this watermelon color. And that has influenced, like, all of Albuquerque. And another fun thing you can do is go up on the Sandia Peak using the tram.
We did that together.
I know.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we did.
So that's a fun romantic thing, but it doesn't have to be, like,
yeah,
if you're just with a group of people.
Yeah, with us, yeah.
Whatever.
So yeah.
yeah. So, I mean, I love my parents, but
right.
yeah.
yeah.
That's not,
just
okay.
not quite romantic.
Exactly.
Could have been.
So, anyway, whoever you're going with is going to be a fun time. And you ride up the tram car. Up the mountain, and it lets you just like a gondola, like you would in Switzerland, for
it's
example.
Closed. Yes,
yes.
Gondola,
and
gondola,
you,
whatever.
You ride up the mountain, and then there, at least when I was growing up there was one restaurant and you mm-hmm. could eat at the restaurant or just get some hot chocolate, but you can kind of just look around and you can overlook the whole city. That's amazing. Going at night is the best time, in my opinion, because the whole city of Albuquerque lights up. The city lights are amazing from that view.
As I recall, we went in the afternoon. It was late afternoon, so we got to see the mountain as we're going up. But then at the big restaurant or whatever it was at the top, it got dark, and so we were still able to see both. So I Right. would say, hey, that's a Mm-hmm. cool time to go late afternoon and be there for dark.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if you ask me what else to do in New Mexico or what do you love about New Mexico, we just said restaurant. I ultimately go to food.
Well, of course you do.
I know, because I love food. But I kind of equate now New Mexico with Sadie's. Sadie's of New Mexico is a restaurant. In our opinion, it's like the best restaurant ever in the whole world. Well, I mean, you know, you love your Cajun stuff.
Well, yeah, yeah.
We would eat out like maybe 3 or 4 times a week and have Mexican food growing up.
Well, that's shocking because your mom cooks all the time.
Right. She was a home ec major. Yeah, y'all, my mom was a home ec major, home ec teacher, and she hates to cook.
But I love you, Mo.
Yeah. So when we discovered Sadie's, like, oh my goodness, this is like life changing. And so now we make it a point, like we have done tours where we went out of our way. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a gig in Albuquerque, but we went out of our way on the routing just to eat at Sadie's to get to the next state.
Yep.
You have to experience Sadie's. And they are actually sponsoring today's podcast. So we want to say a big, huge thank you to Sadie's for sponsoring this podcast.
Woo-hoo!
Another thing that I love about Sadie's, the blue corn stacked enchiladas, right? You don't have to get rolled enchiladas.
Well, you're a vegetarian.
Right. And so I get the vegetarian chili.
Okay.
New Mexican food is a really nice blend of the Native American Indians and the Mexican influence.
Yeah, true.
New Mexican food is the blend of those two cultures in a delicious, amazing, delectable treat.
A delicious blend.
I just wish I could describe it to you. You just have to go and eat it. It's amazing. To me, New Mexican is really the most flavorful, delicious version of Mexican food that you can find on the planet.
And the ideal combination.
Absolutely. And it's important to talk about green and red chili.
Oh.
This is what you must know if you go to New Mexico.
Yeah, a quick interjection here by me. My first time to visit her in Albuquerque, we went to Old Town and we're walking around downtown. We were hungry, so we thought we would get a sandwich. So we went to a little sandwich shop.
And you were getting a turkey wrap.
A turkey wrap, yes, a turkey wrap. And she said, would you like red or green? And I was like, red or green what? I'm getting a turkey wrap. Chilies. And I said, on a turkey wrap? And yeah, so she'd put green chili. It was amazing. And then we would go through the McDonald's drive-thru years ago, and they offer red and green chilies on the McDonald's burgers.
Because this is what you do.
That's crazy.
Because this is amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So in New Mexico, it's all about the chilies. If you want red and green chili, then you ask for Christmas.
Christmas.
Yeah.
So you ask for chilies for Christmas.
Yes, but also if you're in Sadie's, for example, and you're ordering and you are ordering your enchiladas.
Well, I know what I would order.
Right, but you could say if you want red and green chili and you can't decide.
Yeah.
Then you say, I'd like Christmas.
Okay.
And they know that that means you want red and green chili on your enchiladas.
And for me, eating at Sadie's and having my carne adobada enchiladas stacked with blue corn tortillas, right?
Yep.
With a fried egg on top, con papitas.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is like Christmas. Of course, I'm going to get red chili with it.
Okay.
It is absolutely ridiculously good. And their salsa?
Right.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so the salsa is just amazing. They have a version of their salsa that we can now buy in the stores, and that makes me happy. So out here in LA, we can actually buy Sadie's salsa at Sprouts.
So
that makes me really happy.
The not as hot, maybe.
Yeah. There's a couple versions of their salsa that you can buy, and I think it's in most Sprouts around the country as well. So if you have a Sprouts in your area, you can at least experience their salsa until you can go travel to New Mexico. But yeah, their salsa is really amazing. And like for me, since I am vegetarian, they have a vegetarian chili to put on the enchiladas. And then they also have a dish, like if you're vegan, you could just do this without the cheese. But they also have a dish called, I forget what mom calls it because mom makes her own version of it. But they have a beans and potatoes dish.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So it's their beans with their pepitas, which is little squares of potato, which again, we grew up with beans and rice. We didn't eat potatoes on the side, but Sadie serves potatoes instead. You can choose potatoes or rice.
Yeah.
And that's like life-changing right
there. Yeah, I usually get that as the side with my dish. That's why I said papitas.
Exactly. I get that too. And so they have a dish, beans and potatoes, and you could just get that with the vegetarian chili on top, and then there's a vegan option. But then, you know, do the cheese, you're vegetarian. So they have like some fun options. And I need to also talk about sopapillas.
Absolutely, yeah.
They are, now, New Mexico knows how to do them correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a sopapilla is a square piece of white dough, right? And you deep fry it, and it puffs up.
You know what it's like? It's like a Mexican version of a beignet without the powdered sugar.
That's why you married me, because you could get like this fried bread theme.
Right? I mean, come on, being a Southern Louisiana boy, you know that's in my world.
See? Mm-hmm. But it's not a beignet, right?
No.
It's fried bread. It doesn't have sugar on it.
Mm-mm.
It's not made with a tortilla.
Mm-mm.
I mean,
come on, people.
Right. Yep. If you're going to do sopapillas, you got to do them right, right?
Because you know what you can do? You can tear off a little piece of the sopapilla and fill that bad boy with honey.
Yes.
And they've always got honey at the table.
So you tear off the corner.
Yeah.
You don't just tear off any part, Rory.
Oh, sorry.
You have to angle the sopapilla in the correct way so that the point is sticking up.
Okay.
And you rip off the point.
Okay. Any particular corner.
Any corner is fine.
Okay.
Preferably one that's near a big poof.
Preferably the one that's near my mouth.
Yes, it should all be near your mouth because you're at Sadie's.
Yes.
And so you take the honey and you pour the, if you want. I don't eat the honey because this is sopapilla unruined is really good for me. But honey is also good with it. And you pour honey in the hole, in the little.
The honey hole.
The honey hole. You pour
it
in the honey hole. And then that's what you eat in between bites that are frying your mouth off because it's so spicy.
See, for me, it's a dessert. I do get it. Like if I have their salsa and it's like an especially hot day for their salsa, you can't stop eating it because it tastes so good.
Right.
You would just hate yourself for it.
Right.
So I may have a sopapilla then. But for me, I dessert those bad boys. Oh, and if they're cold, they'll just bring you more. Fresh,
you can't eat it.
Paying for them.
You can't eat a cold sopapilla.
It's like
that's
chips
nasty.
And salsa. They just keep bringing it if you want it. It's amazing.
Well, yeah, really. Right. Because that's what you do in Albuquerque. That's normal that you get chips and salsa and you get sopapillas with your meal. They're not dessert. You might eat them at dessert, but they are meant to be eaten with the meal.
I got to wipe my mouth. I'm drooling here.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I want to just jump off here because we're talking about fried bread.
Yes.
So we're going to get back to fry bread in just a minute.
Okay.
For now, I'm also going to pause on the delicious food. Okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to take us to another childhood memory. We can come back to it.
Okay.
Sadie's, you know, will be there for us.
Right.
Dad would take Lisa and I, my sister, he would take us camping as kids.
Yeah.
Okay? And so that was really fun. Mm-hmm. And we would go up, and Dad, I never knew where we were going.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a kid anyway, you just hop in the car because they say we're going, and then you just show up, right?
You still do that.
Right. Thanks for driving us around. You do such a good job.
Yeah, thanks.
And so Dad we'd get all geared up, and we would go camping, and we would go through all these cool places. So there are a lot of cool camping grounds in New Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
And living in Albuquerque, they were nice day trips that you could take, or, you know, like little weekend trips.
Yeah, national forests and parks. Beautiful stuff.
Yeah. I never knew the name of any of them, but that's okay. It's, again, it's a fun experience.
She's just in the car.
But my last camping trip, because you and I were talking about camping, and I realized this was probably the last time that I had gone camping, we would always take our little Coleman stove and all of our little camping gear and fry up Spam.
Now, hang on. I thought you said you were moving away from delicious food because you just mentioned Spam, and so you're right back in the square.
So we fried up the Spam.
Mm.
And later that night, I was throwing up all over the tent, my sleeping bag, all of that. It was awful. You told your nasty story in the last podcast, and this is my nasty story.
No, you know what the worst part about your story is?
It's not funny.
You wasted Spam.
Right?
That's the worst part about, I don't know, I don't appreciate your story because you wasted good fried Spam.
I'm sorry. I know, because good fried Spam when you're camping is like
you
the thing to eat.
Oh, my gosh. Homegrown tomato, fry Spam up in a cast iron skillet.
We didn't have homegrown tomatoes
That's
with us.
That's probably what made you sick.
Probably. But the point being, besides that little rabbit trail
another point, okay.
Yeah, is just driving around in these random places, I always felt like my dad would like drive us and turn off on these roads that were just like not even roads. It's just like oh, here's a dirt road. Let's just go see where this goes.
You know, part of that word is road, dirt road. So it's still a road. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
It was really cool because we would find these Native Indians, Native American Indians, selling their fry bread.
Mm-hmm.
Like it.
Just on the side of the road.
On the side of the road. Yeah. Like I never felt like we were on like the real freeway. Like yeah. I felt like we had to go in these like random places in the middle of nowhere, and then out pops this beautiful stand of, we called it Indian bread because it was always the Indians selling it. We always wanted that. Like, it is so amazing. And so since we've been back, since you and I have been married, I've been able to introduce you to Indian
fry
bread.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there are tons of reservations in the area. And like you said, you could be driving on the highway and just see a little group of people on the side of the road selling Indian fry bread.
It is so worth the stop as much as you can. Stop and get that bread.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying.
Exploring.
Oh, yeah. So that is a really fun thing to do. And one time you and I were doing kind of the same thing, and we just saw a sign and we saw dinosaur
tracks.
We're like, okay,
so
we
got
to see what
we
got to
see that, yeah.
And so we walked in dinosaur feet, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. They had a little group there who would, you buy a little ticket and they walk you through these prehistoric dinosaur tracks in the stone. You know, at least that's their story and they're sticking to it.
So
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And that's just some of the little like things you can do around Albuquerque.
Yeah, Old Town's awesome. They got a good Old Town.
Right. Sandia Peak and Edith Sadie's, of course.
Yep.
There's just lots of things that you can do in Albuquerque and in surrounding areas. And I have seen, as you and I have been traveling around the U.S., I've been seeing New Mexico Travel Bureau's signs in different places. So visit their website, because, and we'll put that on the podcast notes, but they're going to have a lot of resources there. They're doing a really nice effort, I think, to get people out to New Mexico. We hope you guys can experience Sadie's, and if nothing else, grab some of their salsa and hope you enjoy it. All right, Rory. So I want to expand on our travel tip from the last episode where we talked about the convenience of having a place to store your suitcase to keep it accessible but out of sight.
Yeah, in this case, to store your suitcase since you don't have me a drawer. So, but anyway, go ahead. I'm not bitter.
Right, right.
Yeah.
If y'all don't know what he's talking about, check out the previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so one great thing about this is you can unpack at your own leisure without trashing the house and having your stuff all over the place. You know, you can unpack when you have time if you need that. But what I want to talk about today is what always stays in your suitcase. So for me, I have a separate toiletry bag for my suitcase than I do in my bathroom at home. For me, we started traveling so frequently that I started spending most of my time packing, like figuring out my toiletries and what am I forgetting and having to refill little travel jars. And
it's inevitable you forget something with toiletries.
Yeah, yeah. That's why they always have the toothpaste available at the
hotel,
right?
Yeah, because a comb, it's just, whatever.
Yeah. So to make sure I always remember my hairspray or my shampoo or whatever, it just became unproductive to do it every single trip. And for me, I needed to have my toiletries, a version for my travel and a version at home. So I just buy two of what I need, you know, in that case. So now, Rory, you do it differently.
Yeah, I am very similar, only better, of course.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, I have this great toiletry bag that I think maybe you gave me or your dad, somebody?
Yeah, Mom got it for me for Christmas, and I gave it to you because it wouldn't fit in my vibe.
Yeah, well, it's a cool vibe for me. So at home, I keep my toiletries always hanging in this bag, and that's where I keep my toothbrush, my toothpaste, my hair gel, my floss, whatever it is I need, right? Everything's in there. Of course, I have soap and stuff in the shower that stays in the shower. But when it's time for me to go, I grab my toiletry bag, fold it together, zip it up, put it in my suitcase. It's all packed and ready to go. I live out of my toiletry bag.
Yeah. So I think that's a brilliant way to do it.
Well, of course, I'm doing it. It's brilliant.
Right, yeah. Right. And that's, and it's worked for you that long. But the way I work, I need a different solution. And so for me, I just have to have two of everything. And that, it just works better for me.
That so sounds like you.
Of course. Now, I also leave other things in my suitcase. So you guys are going to have your own version of whatever this is, because I doubt your, like, quote unquote, travel necessities are going to be mine. Because my first travel necessity that I keep in my suitcase at all times is a rubber stopper for like a bathtub or a sink.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't have one of those.
No, see? I'm a bath girl, and so I love, like, if I'm having a stressful day, which most of them are, I just love a hot, relaxing bath at the end of the night. And we've traveled to Gary. He's still laughing at me.
Because I'm thinking of a very particular instance. When we were in Paris, France, staying in the Bole de Vie house. And it's a really old house from the 1500s. And it was being redone, but it wasn't redone. And they had a shower. And in the shower was a basin, kind of, that was like maybe 8 inches deep, right? And if you pull your knees up into your chest, you could just sit in it. I naturally took a shower, but she took her little stopper out and sat down in the bottom of the shower like she was taking a bath. It was ridiculous. So she really does enjoy her baths.
Yeah. So I have this sink stopper that I take with me. It's very flat, and it fits on multiple sizes. And we've also found it useful when we had to hand wash something. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do laundry for 3 more days. We're going to have to hand wash our underwear or whatever
You know? I'll let you do that.
For me, that is something that, and it, you know, it basically takes up no space. So it's something that I just always keep in my suitcase. Another thing that I keep in my suitcase is a delicates bag. And what I mean by that is a laundry bag that zips up that you might wash your slips or stockings in or whatever.
None of which I wear.
See,
I feel so left out.
Again, everyone's going to have their own versions of this. But I keep that delicates bag in my suitcase because our clothes take such a beating in European washing machines. And so I have learned that if I just have that delicates bag in my suitcase at all times, it just helps with laundry. So, and we're usually
helps protect your clothes.
Yeah. And I put, like when we're in Europe and I use that, I put my normal clothes in the delicates bag just to make it a little more easy on the clothes. And so I always have that there. Now, I don't have a delicates bag at the house, right? So if I don't use one very often. So if I'm just home and I need one, then I know it's stored in my easy-to-get-to suitcase, and it's accessible. And I just get it out of my suitcase, use it at home, and then just put it back in my suitcase.
Put it right back.
So my suitcase then becomes storage, but it only stores things that I know I'm going to use when I'm traveling.
That you always travel with.
Yeah, but I don't need that much at home.
Yeah.
Bathing suits as well. Like you and I, when we're home, we don't go to the beach much. We don't have a pool at our house. Mm. So it's nice to have a bathing suit in my suitcase in case we stay at a hotel with a hot tub or something like that. And, you know, another version of a bath, right? swimming pool, whatever, I'm just saying. And so it's just nice that to have my suitcase. And then if we're home and I need my swimsuit, I know that I just go to my suitcase. It's there. It's a good way to take your home with you on your travels. And those little comforts when you're in a foreign place or an uncomfortable place because it's new to you, you got something familiar that's just going to help you with things that are important to you.
Our travel question for this podcast today comes to us from Jeremy. And what does Jeremy ask?
Well, he says he loves to travel and would love to do more, but he's in college with a college job, income, and college class load and schedule. So he wants to do more travel.
Yep.
But hello, it's real life, right? I think his dilemma is very common to everybody. We have to still work. We still have to hold down jobs. We can't be gone all the time unless we have found a way to shift our life that it's travel all the time.
Travel-centric.
Right?
Yeah.
So how could someone like Jeremy fit more travel into his life?
Okay.
So
I think a good place to start is with our paradigm. What is your idea of travel, right? So you might be thinking, oh, if I'm going to travel, I have to go somewhere far away or I have to fly overseas or whatever. That's not necessarily true. For example, where most people live, somewhere in their surrounding area where it would be an easy day trip, there are places culturally that are very different from where you're from. So it could be that you get a bunch of buddies and for the weekend you go out. It could be a day trip or it could be a weekend trip, right? And it's really inexpensive. Y'all jump in the car together. You share gas costs, food costs, whatever. You go to see this place. It might be, if you're in New Mexico, it could be going to an Indian reservation and hanging out there. It could be camping somewhere in a national forest or national park. If you're in L.A., there are loads of places you could go just for the day. Chinatown, Koreatown, all kinds of places where you can find, like, really authentic cultures. Drive down to San Diego, go into Mexico. I mean, all kinds of things. So I would say, what is your idea of travel? And maybe switch that a little bit. So in your current circumstances, something that costs you guys almost nothing to do, you can make that travel. We enjoy sometimes on Sunday afternoons, we'll just drive to get lost.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so fun. And you find all kind of cool things. Yesterday, we drove to get lost and found Tujunga Canyon. Now, for us, that was new. I'd never been to Tujunga Canyon, and it was amazing, so cool. I mean, you're just right outside L.A., and suddenly you're in the big countryside with mountains and a canyon.
Yeah, yeah. A little pond and stream.
Yeah, a river.
Great.
Yeah, a little. It was really cool, man. So I think that's a good thing to do, too. Also, I think if you're wanting to travel further, look at budget airlines, right? Because if you search just Expedia and stuff like that, a lot of your budget airlines are, in my opinion, some of your best airlines, like Southwest Airlines.
Southwest.
Yeah, we love them. They won't come up. You have to go to their website and look at Southwest Airlines or whatever the discount airline might be and buy your tickets directly from them. But you will be amazed at some of the deals you will get. Like $100 to fly to Houston or something, you know, fly to Nashville for $100. I mean, it's doable, right? So I would encourage you to do that as well.
And just along the lines of your weekend trip with friends, you guys can also go in together with an Airbnb, for example.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then you can rent the house.
I mean, if you don't want to camp or whatever, Airbnb, hotel rooms, ask for a rollaway bed, makes it really inexpensive. Also, make sure that you join the frequent flyer club, whatever they call them, to get mileage when you do fly on airlines, because one day that'll pay off in spades when you want to take a trip to Europe, for example, or in this case now Southwest flying to Hawaii as well, right? It doesn't take nearly as much mileage. So save up your miles and make what to you maybe at the time a trip of a lifetime using your mileage, whereas before you may not have been able to afford it. Also in Europe, Eurail discounts for certain ages. So I think our last podcast or something like that, we talked about that more. So check out that. Don't want to take the time now, but Eurail discounts for people who are younger and traveling, college age, it's really great. Buy your backpack, take off. It's really
Some other things that we've done, like mission trips, a lot of times other church members are willing to help donate towards your trip. And so that helps with the cost. And you're going with a group of people and you have this amazing adventure in a foreign country, but you're also helping people while you're there. And along those lines, you can do volunteer vacations. You can work with a wildlife refuge type organization, or you can work on an organic farm or eco-friendly vacations where you can work to earn your keep at a place. And so maybe all you need is just your travel cost to get to that destination. But once you're there, you're helping pick the berries and, you know, tend the garden, and then you get the benefits.
It really feels good to know you're doing good at the same time, right? I mean, that's what you were saying about the mission trips kind of things that we've done. It's really great. Not only do you get to visit some place you've never been before, maybe a foreign country, but you're getting to help these people and
hang out with them and get to know
them.
Yeah, that's what I
was going to say.
I mean, it's a great way to get to know the culture.
In the culture. It's really cool. Really, it's immersive, an immersive experience.
Right. And also, you're not some weird stranger just walking up to somebody engage with a local.
Yeah,
like
you
have this premise that everybody's working together and here we are. And so it just makes the introduction smoother. Another thing that we have done, you can extend your work, sport, or club opportunities. So for example, our music takes us on tour. So say we get a gig in North Dakota or Switzerland. We've been able to tack on a few extra days in that area. And so we can extend the trip and enjoy the area just beyond the gig. So you let the event you're attending get you to the area. And then your personal costs beyond that are less expensive than if you just went there on your own. So if you have a job that sends you to a convention, you're working that whole time, get in a day early or stay 2 or 3 days after and explore that area, or let that be a launching pad to go. You know, Rory, you recently played for a convention in San Diego. Someone could then do a cheaper flight to Vegas and go check out Vegas, you know, for 2 days after that before heading back to the East Coast, you know, something like that. So if you have a sports competition or your fraternity has a retreat, you can plan an excursion a few days before or past that event. And sometimes that's a good way to get a little small taste. And then I think our other last kind of suggestion for you is that you need to plan it. Not like a solar planet, but plan it.
Right, plan it. You don't need a planet of your own.
Right, but start a travel, you know, collect your spare change and that's your travel jar, or, you know, just set aside money every month that's going to go towards travel.
Yeah, I mean, it could be $5-$10 a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
we spend our time and our money on what's important to us. You know, Rory, you always say that if you don't plan travel, it's not going to happen. Start planning now. And one of those ways is to budget it. And then another way is just start filling that calendar and say, hey, I've got summer vacation, or I've got spring break, or I've got those little breaks. I'm going to grab them. Or I have this event where I'm traveling. I'm going to tack a few days onto that. So I hope that gives you some help, Jeremy, and some ideas of ways that we've been able to travel and, you know, just travel more eco-friendly and budget-friendly, because it is difficult, but it is possible.
Yeah, and as a college student, you might do international studies, right?
Absolutely. Be an exchange student.
That's it.
Love it. Well, guys, we really appreciate you listening to this episode. We hope we have made your mouth start to water for some green and red chili from Sadie's.
Yes, and inspired your taste buds. So, yeah, we hope we've inspired you guys to go to New Mexico and try some New Mexican food at Sadie's.
Yes.
It is different. It's not Mexican food. It's New Mexican food, and it's awesome. You got to try it. Visit New Mexico. Enjoy the great outdoors. Check out some of the stuff we mentioned. Explore and find things on your own. It's really, really cool. So we hope we've inspired you guys. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Bye. Thanks for joining us today. Find us on the web at www.theromies.com. That's theroamies.com. And we are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all at The Romies. That's theroamies. Thanks.